Good evening to you. It is a Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2018. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. Oh my. Hi. Wow. So let's bubble wrap everybody. And but we got a win. It's a huge win for sure. And of course, with this show, you get to be a part of it. So join us in the YouTube chat, on the page, or on the app. You can also use the Twitter hashtag TealTownUSA on Twitter. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube. Joining me, my very good friend, Mr. Eric Landy.
Hey, how's everybody doing? How you doing, Puck Guy?
Doing very well. Very well. Sharks are on a roll. They sweep the three-game road trip. Huge win as they head home for a pretty epic homestand coming up. Man, oh, man, it's a huge one for sure. So we'll just get right at it. We'll break this thing down. Canucks entered this game going nearly 220 minutes without a goal. Take a guess what happened. Yeah.
They scored on the power play three times.
Three times on the power play. They scored the first one in the first period because post-steal syndrome, Nikolai Goldobin scores. He makes it 1-0 on the power play from Pouliot and Boucher. 10:48 of the first period. Landy, I hate to say it, but it's like we knew the Sharks would be the team to end the goalless drought for the Sharks. Come on.
It wasn't even really the goalless drought, to be quite honest. It's just the special teams for me. Oh. And I mean, I know that they did score a power play goal. But, I mean, like, against the 24th-ranked penalty kill, that shit needs to be hot knife through butter.
Right?
I can I've already got the swear jar going. But, you know, like, really, at this point, they need to collectively get their heads out of their asses on the power play and go to the net and just stop with the cutesy passing. I mean, we saw it tonight with Chris Tierney. You know, on that second power play unit, drop pass, what happens? He turns it over, Canucks go out and break out. I mean, it just shouldn't be happening.
No, it shouldn't be happening. And it's just very frustrating to see on the power play what they did. The penalty kill was just surprisingly shocking and disappointing as the Canucks go 3-for-4 on the power play. But before they get a chance to score again, the Sharks get on a roll. 14:58, Kevin LeBanc with the power play goal from Pavelski and Couture makes it 1-1. LeBanc's starting to, you know, kind of mix things up. Maybe he's not going to pass. Maybe he's going to shoot. I love that. What did you think of LeBanc's second goal in his second in two games?
Hey, you know what? Banker had gone a little bit cold. You know, he had been really getting the assists, but I really like the fact that he's shooting a little bit more now. The kid's got a great shot, and it's really accurate. So I want him shooting. And you know what? The Sharks were driven by the young guns tonight for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Logan Couture. I don't know. I know you saw the replay, but it almost looked like he had one hand on his stick, but I think he got his second one on as he puts it home past Jacob Markstrom for his 29th on the year from Hurdle and Bodker, 16:08. So just a little over a minute 16 after LeBanc get the Sharks the tie, Couture with the lead. They head into the locker room after 20, up one. But they were down one as Melker Karlsson takes a painful shot to, looks like, the foot. And yeah, he didn't return tonight. And, man, that's a big blow because he just came back.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not so big as far as like what he provides on ice, but definitely morale wise, I know that he's really liked in the locker room. And you know, this team's already banged up. I mean, it's minus Donskoy, and it's it's going to be minus Carlson, minus Thornton, of course. So, I mean, this team is getting really, really thin.
Yeah. I mean, that at this point, if nobody's able to come back, I think Rudolph Balsers is going to get
we'll get into it. I think we should probably shelve that till after the game recap, because I've got some thoughts there too. But yeah, it's getting thin. And spoiler alert, guys, we're going to have some off the wall, kind of off the wall ideas for me, at least. I'm sure Puck Guy will throw in some too.
Oh, yes. All right. So moving on to the second period, Dilly, both of them get assists on a shot that looks like it was tipped by Timo Meier's leg or butt.
His ass.
Yeah.
He pulled a goon.
Yeah. He uses his butt, the butt goal or the butt tip. That doesn't sound right. He gets his 19th of the season.
He used just the tip, all right?
just the tip of the cheek. To give the Sharks a 3-1 lead. Things seem to be rolling. And then the Sharks got into some penalty trouble. Bo Horvat gets his 19th of the year from Sam Gagne and Alex Edler to make it 3-2 Sharks at 5:23. Then Edler scores himself on the power play from Gagne and one of the Sedin brothers. At 11:48, this game is tied 3-3. And not a good taste in your mouth after two periods, Landy, because Vancouver seemed like they were on a good run there.
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver definitely looked like they got a shot in the arm from their power play. And the Sharks looked like their PK was taking away, which has not been a staple of this team. It hasn't been a hallmark of this team for a few years, but the PK just did not look on point tonight. And, you know, I think we would be remiss if we didn't say that Vlasic is a big part of it. And being down a Mark Edward Vlasic on the PK is a big deal. So, I mean, that could also go into it too, but they just didn't look sharp. And, I don't know. We got a couple of people in the chat. And by the way, the injury to Vlasic did occur in the second. He's being evaluated, probably getting x-rays. Dave B. Pilot, evaluated means x-rays. Yeah. I think we'd also want to make sure that, you know, there's no kind of damage to the throat area, to his trachea or anything like that. Yeah. Because it looked like it hit him right in the throat. I mean, me and my dad were watching on the couch. My dad immediately goes, man, that hit him in the throat. That does not look fun.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, he's had that injury before. Last year he had that nasty eye injury that kept him out for a while too. So, we hope that he's okay. He didn't play the rest of the game, but let's hope he's okay with that. In the third period, this one went back and forth. I thought the Sharks were a little hemmed in Vancouver's zone a little bit, and then they started breaking out and getting the chances. And then Timo Meier with a great shot from LeBanc and Braun at 6:07. That'll turn out to be your game-winning goal. So Timo times two, which is nice because he had a rough night in the going to the penalty box too. I mean, let's give him full credit. Gets two goals, gets the game winning goal. However, he took some pretty crappy penalties.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to, you know, I think first off, the Sharks did not lose hope. And they didn't kind of retreat in that third period, which they could have come out and been like, hey, our PK is on. We're missing two key players, but they came out instead and they were pretty resilient. So you got to give them full marks for that. And Timo, you know, leads the way with that goal. And like I said before, you know, the kid's driving the bus tonight, and that's really, really good to see. And now we can talk about the number of 20 goal scorers that this team has, because look at it now. We were wondering, where are the goals going to come from this year?
Yep.
And we've got Hurdle with 20 goals. We've got Timo with 20 goals. We've got Couture way past the 20 goal mark at 28 goals. Pavelski hovering around 18. Tierney at 17. Bodker 13. Donskoy 13. Burns, LeBanc, Vlasic. I mean, all have 10 or more goals. But really, they got 320 goal scorers. That is really, really good. Plus Evander Kane, who will count as a 20 goal scorer as well, because he was, because he was acquired with 20 goals. So, you know, they have 420 goal scorers. That's pretty good for a team that we were wondering a couple months ago, where's the scoring going to come from?
Yeah, and that's great to see. It kind of reminds me of the 04 team that made the conference final, where they had, I think, like 5 or 6 20 goal scorers. So
right, and that's the thing, is this team looks more depth filled than a lot of the other Sharks teams. Dare I say it, even the Sharks team that went to the final. I mean, their balanced scoring means that lines 1 through 3, hell, even line 4 for that matter, can chip in some goals when they need it. And that's just gonna cause mismatches all over the place.
Yeah. And you gotta love it, because how many times have we complained about secondary scoring? Well, we got it right there. I'll note this as it's being replayed on the TV side. Man, oh man, Hurdle saved one that was definitely going in to tie the game. I love the between the legs save that Dell has to use his legs up in the air to make the save, and then, you know, Tierney just pushes Goldie off his butt. Thank goodness for that. Sharks hold on, because Vancouver was coming on late in that game too. But Hurdle with the empty netter, he gets to 20th on the year. Sharks win 5-3. What did you think of Dell's performance tonight?
I thought Dell hung around, gave him a chance to win. I mean, I wasn't super impressed, and I wasn't impressed on that Goldobin goal, to be quite honest with you. He should have had that one. I didn't like his positioning, especially when he had the forward, kind of in his sights. He didn't really make a move to try and get around him. So he looked like a goalie that was a little cold. To me, that's what Dell looked like, but he hung in there. Rob Iman saying Dell got hung out to dry from the depleted D. I agree. But still, you know, I feel like Dell did look a little rusty. And it's kind of funny too, because we saw yesterday that Jones looked a little rusty as well. So goaltending, not an issue, but maybe going through a little bit of a slump today. And Jerry saying, agree, Eric, Dell was good, but not great. And that's kind of where I'm at too. Dave DePilot, I don't think any of the goals were Dell's fault. Like I said before, I didn't like the positioning of the goals. I think, where he was on those goals. And he looked a little floundery tonight. Kind of reminded me a little bit of a young Yevgeny Nabokov, because kind of had a little bit of the antsy goaltender syndrome going on a little bit. He just didn't – it wasn't like he didn't look like yesterday with Mike Smith and Cole, but, you know, yeah, he did look a little antsy.
Yeah, it was an okay performance, I guess we'll say.
and just a note on overall for the PK, we dropped down to third with tonight's.
Wow.
So right now the Colorado Avalanche and the Kings clock in at 84.1%. Sharks only dipped to 83.9%, so you get a couple more kills, you'll raise that percentage a little bit, but you took, you know, a pretty good substantial hit. I mean, they had a I think it was 1.1 percentage points padding against the next closest team, which was the Kings, but they fall to third place tonight with that. Power play is hovering around 11th again. It's clocking in at 21.1%. I mean, both of those add up to more than 100% on special teams, so there's not much more you can ask there, but still not a great trend. Not a great trend.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, overall, the goals for and the goals against tonight, the Sharks click up their goals for, and we're right around 3 goals a game, and their goals against average is at 2.72. So, you know, it's climbed. At the beginning of the year, it was around 0.1 differential positively. The Sharks now go to about 0.3 positively goals per game. For anybody wondering about that stat, you normally want to be above, I would say, 0.5 to give yourself a really good margin. I think that's a mark of a really good team, a team that's not in a lot of close games. And, you know, anything above 0.5 is good in my book. But the Sharks hovering around 0.3. Still, I wouldn't say they're the most we'll pull up their goals for. They are hovering tonight at 12th, goals for. And goals against, they are in 9th. So, you know, I think the goals for is good that they're in 12th. The goals 9th, I think I'd like to see them tighten up just a little bit going into the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some more goal support and some net minding to go along the way. You want your team to be clicking as you go into the playoffs here. Just listening to the PDB press conference, pretty much nothing yet on the guys that got injured tonight. They'll probably know a little more tomorrow in regards to what's going to go down with Carlson and Vlasic. And I forget who said it in the chat earlier, but in the last 100 minutes of hockey, you've lost, or in the last 3 games, you've lost Donskoy, Joachim Ryan, Marc-Edouard Vlasic, and Melker Carlson. That's going to be a tough one to take, but this team has found ways to be resilient this season. And like you said, Landy, earlier, you found out about, this team hasn't stopped quitting. And sure enough, they've found a way, and they've been great. I mean, they've been absolutely great. They've been, this is their 4th straight win. They've won, I think, 4 out of their last 5. They have a perfect road trip. And we'll get to the standings and the wraparound, but
I think you mean reach around.
No, it's the wraparound. So, Benjamin Castle in the chat, reminder that DW wanted Meyer to take Marlowe's place in the top 6 and the power play unit. I guess he's doing that. Yeah, he's not on the top power play unit, but he's definitely taking the spot, and he's doing it. You know, he's bouncing all over the place too. He was in the top line. He's been most recently on the 3rd line as well, you know.
But I mean, can you really call Tierney, LeBanc, and Meyer a 3rd line? I mean, that's a 2nd line on most people's teams, you know. And it's good to see that the Sharks are going with that 3 deep scoring line model, and then having the 4th line be a semi-traditional checking line. I mean, you've got Goodrow, who can throw around the body. Fair is just an awesome face-off guy. And then that kind of rotating, that rotating hole. Right now, just kind of going over this injury situation, you've got a Tim Heed who's got NHL experience, who can draw in the lineup.
Yep.
That's a great luxury to have. It's a great luxury to have Paul Martin, to be quite honest. I know a lot of people wanted to jettison him, but still, having a guy who's been a veteran of a lot of playoff games, who can come in and be like, hey, you know what? We can hold the fort down. And you know what? That's good, because Brent Burns, you know, he can get the points. You now have the emergence of Dilly Dilly, who is like maybe the team's hottest D pair points wise going in right now.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, for Rocket, I think he's watching, Brendan Dillon, 4-game point streak. Oh my.
And DeMelo, I mean, he's had a hell of a lot of points in these last five games. Sleepy Mofo, just watch. Barton gets the game-winning goal, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
No, it has to be Mark Edouard Vlasic who gets the cup-winning goal. I want to see, you know, we talk about jersey bets. Gentry and I have had this jersey bet for years. If Vlasic gets the cup-winning goal, he's going to buy a Vlasic jersey, and it's in white. Gentry never wears white. It's like, come on! And Jet, we need to get you back on here soon. Anyways, back to you, Wendy.
Yeah, I mean, just going through Rob Iman, Dilly Dilly picks up his third goal in the next homestand, fact or fiction. Fact. Yes. I think that they will. And Benjamin Kessel, 4-game point streak for Dilly Dilly. Rocket, your thoughts? Look, I really commend Dylan for working on his skating. That was his biggest knock last year and this year. He took it upon himself to get better skating, and it shows. That those two have become way more mobile than they were last year.
Definitely.
And you know what? Like I said before, it's a luxury you have a Tim Heed. It's a luxury you have a Paul Martin. There's another guy that has kind of been sitting there waiting for his shot. Joel Ward. You know, maybe it's time to bring Wardo. I mean, we saw the interview with him. He said he was getting close. He might have been told to say that by DW because they've been known to skirt around the IR rules. So we could see Joel Ward potentially draw back in.
That's a great point, too. Wardo, you know, I think he was on the broadcast the other night in Calgary. He's looking like he's getting close to being ready to go. Let's try it. I mean, let's try it, guys, because what's the best thing to have is playoff experience. You have guys like Hansen. You have guys like Ward. You have Paul Martin, who are now all of a sudden going to be
relied upon.
Yeah, it's huge now. I mean, now the depth is being tested, but look at the depth that we have. You know we haven't gotten to the to the super depth of the Barracuda yet, which is so grateful.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Marcus Sorensen, I think he's kind of a little banged up too. I know he did draw in, but he kind of drew out. And interesting, I don't know what this means, but I'm looking on the Sharks roster page. It was updated today. Maxim Letunov, who was the guy that I was kind of wondering where he's going to draw in. He actually goes to the active roster, and he's on the Sharks roster, not the Barracuda roster. He might draw in too.
That's, you know what? I totally forgot about that. Totally forgot about that. Wow. That's another news too.
Because he's on right now, like I said, I just looked at the NHL active roster for the Sharks. He's on the Sharks roster. He's not, and this is directly from the San Jose Sharks, not from Cap Friendly. So, I mean, if they put him there, that means that, I mean, it could be a typo, but they don't normally do that.
Yeah,
they don't normally do that.
That's usually not the case. So we'll see if that's a little wrinkle they can put in. And don't forget, when University of Denver has their season end, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Dylan Gambrell signed to entry level.
Yeah, Dylan Gambrell, he still needs a deal. That's somebody that you cannot let him get to his senior year, because that's basically the kiss of death for a college player. But I'm going over right now. On the reserve list, there was another player that they did need to sign, Noah Gregor, draft 2016, but he's a 20-year-old. He's another guy that needs one by June 1st. So CP Mofo saying, I'm afraid Gambrell will walk. Look, he was actually touted, circled by somebody that DW said, him and what was the other guy that he was talking about? he's Scott Reedy. Those two were actually like spoken of out of that Facebook video. So I think those two are definitely getting getting signed. But let me go back over real quick over the Sharks roster list right now. I think we might see a Rudolph Balkers, but I'm guessing it's going to actually be Latunov. I really think that that's who's going to draw in.
That'd be quite interesting if that were the case, but it's doable and possible. It's interesting to see, and well, why not go for it? I mean, seriously, what do you have to lose? I mean, granted, the tough part is that you burn his first year of his entry level, no matter what, if you get him into the lineup. So
yeah, so Maxim Latunov, per cap friendly as well, is on the Sharks roster, not on the Barracuda roster. Signed directly to the NHL. Status is listed as NHL 2 on cap friendly. Was signed to a 2-year entry level deal, not a 3-year. And he is 22 years old. So he could be one of those rare players that goes directly from college directly into the NHL pipeline. So Sleepy Mofo, I'm thinking the Sharks are going to make him the black ace, so to speak. Hockey Jerk saying Latunov is not playing with the Sharks. He's still at the University of Connecticut. Yes, that is correct, but he's actually on the Sharks roster, not at per Barracuda roster. That's what I'm saying right now.
So just definitely a potential wrinkle to use just in case. So
yeah, Dave P Pilot, Latunov is more likely just a paper issue, likely has to be on the active roster before being sent down. But then again, there's no roster limits. So why would you put him to the Sharks roster if you're going to just send him down again? I don't think so.
Maybe in I don't know, you or Drick might know about this. Maybe it's supposed to be due to eligibility for the playoffs.
Could be,
you know. Could be. I mean, that's a possibility.
I'm not exactly sure how that works. I know with trades, it has to be done prior, and I know that you also for the Barracuda playoffs last year, they had to send a couple people down in order to be eligible for their playoffs. I'm not sure how it works on the other end. So, you know, everybody's asking about Jumbo. What's Jumbo's ETA? Look, I would not be. Go ahead.
I was gonna say Jumbo's watching, you know, Brody and Curtis. That's the best we know right now.
Right. He still hasn't skated yet, from all that I've heard. So every indication, my gut tells me, maybe gets on the ice a week or two before the season ends, and maybe gets in the last couple of games if they're really pushing it. But to be honest, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he just doesn't suit up for the playoffs and that's it.
Man, I can't see him missing the playoffs, though. I mean, unless it's something really serious. So, and which his injury is, but they've been super quiet about it, and he's been super quiet himself too. So
that's a little worrying. That's a little worrying, to be honest, because, you know, at least sometime, I mean, last year we saw him, he was working out still. I mean, you could see that. I mean, you know, he pop up on social media every once in a while, and the fact that it's been so quiet is a little concerning.
Yeah, and that's the scary part, is that there's nothing out there, and you would hope that he would have started skating by now, but you know, that's rushing it a little bit too, for that matter. So nonetheless, let's finish up with the stats here. Shots on goal close to being even, 31-30 in favor of Canucks. Faceoffs were right down the middle. Power plays, Sharks went 1-for-4. Canucks went 3-for-4. For the power play, they've scored, I believe, 4 out of their last 5 games. So they are getting goals. They're just not getting multiple goals. They still haven't scored a multi-goal power play game or multi-power play goal game since that Vegas game back in February. So hits, Canucks outhit them 40-17. Giveaways just a slight in favor of the Sharks. Paul Martin played about 10 minutes tonight. He was a plus one on the ice. He did have a penalty, though, had 3 blocks. So Martin looked pretty decent in his debut. Of course, everybody's numbers were completely thrown off due to the injuries. Vlasic only played a little under 9 minutes. Dylan, Braun, and Burns played at least 24 minutes. So you had a lot of that sparingly. But yeah, I mean, it's a gutsy win. Good performance from the boys tonight. And they needed it. It's a huge win for the Sharks in the standings wise, because, according to Hockey Jerk, let's see, Jumbo's injury last year was worse than this year. However, the recovery for a major surgery can be actually be quicker than a minor surgery. Which Mike Nevis also replies, Jumbo, wait, sorry. Did you see pregame?
Me? No, I didn't catch pregame. I did see the video, though.
Okay, well, see, sorry. Jumbo, if you're watching, Mike Nevis needs a ride to the airport. Just putting that out there.
But hey, you know what, though? For everything that we've said about Jumbo, where's Jumbo? This team continues to win.
Yeah.
It continues to win despite the fact that, by all accounts, it should be down and out. I mean, by all accounts, they let Vancouver like breathe some life into here, and this team has grown a lot in its resiliency, and it's really showing that it's not just a house of cards like it always has been. I mean, right now, Puck Guy, the guys are on a 7-2-1 streak in their last 10. I mean, they've won 4, and against a team that was flat out in a dead heat with them in Calgary. I mean, they put some distance on them, and Edmonton, and gutsy win in Edmonton, gutsy win in Vancouver.
Did somebody say Vancouver?
Somebody said Vancouver.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's they've gone on a great run right now.
But put it to you this way, they are the second hottest team in the Western Conference behind Nashville. Nashville's 9-0-1 in their last 10. The Sharks are 7-2-1.
And it shows. I mean, I'll show those standings right now. Guys, it's quite conceivable they beat New Jersey, and then that matchup Thursday night against the Golden Knights is mega huge, because the Sharks are now just 6 points behind the Golden Knights. I know we kind of just said, yeah, no, the Knights will win the Pacific. Not so fast now with this homestand coming up. So the Sharks are at 89. They now have a 5-point lead in the division on LA and Anaheim, who are both at 84 points. Calgary is now at 81. So now they build up an 8-point lead on Calgary. So they are getting closer and closer to clinching this thing. So that's a good thing to see right there. So, yeah. Landy, is it time?
It's time for your NHL reach around.
It's wrap around. Ay, ay, ay. All right. and All right, let's go over the scores in the world of hockey tonight. Earlier today in Buffalo, the Sabres beat the Blackhawks 5-3. Sam Reinhart with the game, or with an empty netter. Baptiste with the tip, only his fourth of the year, with a minute 56 left in regulation, is the game winner for Buffalo.
Thank you, Le Sabres, for Evander Kane again.
Yes, thank you. Oh, Danny O'Regan works wonders for you. In Florida, the Oilers beat the Panthers 4-2. The Nuge gets on the board along with Connor McDavid. Adam Larson. What? Adam Larson scored? Wow. At least he's making up for Taylor Hall. That's not a fair thing to say. I'm sorry. But he gets the game-winning goal. Vetrano and Trocheck goals for the Panthers as Luongo takes the loss for the Cats. In LA, thank you, New Jersey. Just lose to us on Tuesday. The Devils
shut out. That's my dad's home state, by the way.
Joyzy. Nice. The Devils shut out the LA Kings 3-0. Grabner, Nico Hischier, and Wood get the goals for the Devils as Kincaid shuts out Jonathan Quick and the LA Kings. In Toronto, the Leafs shut out the Canadiens 4-0 as Nylander, Kapanen, Nazem Kadri, and Janssen gets his first NHL goal. Curtis McElhinney with the shutout as the Leafs get closer and closer to trying to get back into the Atlantic Division race, which is just gotten a lot more interesting as the Bruins shut out the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-0. They are now just 2 points back, I believe, just 2 points back of the Lightning in the Atlantic. The Leafs are at 86-93. They're at 93 points. So the Atlantic getting a little interesting.
Getting a little interesting. You know, they had the same amount of rows as Tampa Bay.
That was wicked awesome. In Carolina, Cam Ward did not do this bitch.
Unfortunately. No, he didn't. He did not Cam Ward this bitch.
No. The Hurricanes lose to the Flyers 4-2. Konechny, Voracek, Filippa, and Raffle all get goals for the Flyers as they make a run to steal the Metro Division crown. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Metro Division crown's almost as tight as the Pacific Division. I mean, it's tighter than the Pacific, but in some ways it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, even the Atlantic is starting to do the same now too. That's getting more and more interesting. In Columbus, the Blue Jackets trying to keep a playoff spot going as they beat the Senators 2-1. Boone Jenner just keeps going again lately. He's been on a roll. His 10th of the season. Nedovara gets his fourth. That turns out to be the game-winning goal. Sergei Bobrovsky gets the win for the Neon Buggers. In a game that made me so mad about my fantasy hockey score, the Blues beat the Rangers in overtime 4-3. Alex Pietrangelo with two goals. Braden Schenn with the game-winning goal in overtime at 1:02, his 25th on the campaign. Mika Zibanejad with two goals for the Rangers as the Blues get a much-needed win to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's talk about it because we did go over the Western Conference just a little bit. Where do you draw the line? Do you think that the Blues still have some breath left? Or are we drawing the line at the Blues? What are we thinking with the Blues here?
They're still in it right now. They're just 4 points out. Remember, they just have to get to the wild card to be in it.
I think you're flip-flopped with Calgary and St. Louis's point totals. Calgary's got 80 and St. Louis got 81.
Yeah, crap. Well, if you're on the same NHL.com page, continue on with the wrapper while I fix that graphic.
But I mean, for me at least, St. Louis, they're running out of runway here. Just exactly kind of like how I was saying Calgary. I thought that they had too much ground to make up in the pack. I mean, they've got to make up 2 games, 4 points against Anaheim, and that's to be tied with Anaheim. And of course, you know, they have the same amount of games played now as Anaheim and Los Angeles, who both have more than 4 points. The rows, I think, are also going to be a little bit of an issue too, because they only have 33 rows, whereas Anaheim has 32, so they could overtake Anaheim. But the Kings sneakily have 37 rows, which is going to be very interesting too. So it could come down to the tiebreaker and where exactly Calgary lies. I mean, that's not good. But you know what? The thing that I look at, you can't be 15-17-4 at home. You can't be 15-17-4 at the Saddle Dome and expect to make the playoffs.
Yeah. You need to own your own barn.
Yeah.
You know, I like that was breaking Sharks and unrestricted free agent Mikhail Hamalik. No.
Shoot, if it was Jaromír Jágr, I'd have a better time believing that. Oh, another Czech native.
No. All right. Got it fixed.
And then St. Louis too. I mean, like we were saying, they've got a heartbeat, but they've got to win their game in hand to get to 83 points, which would be trailing their 2-division wild cards by a point. Mm-hmm. But I mean, St. Louis, if
they could get it as a regulation win too, that would be big for them, because that'd be 36, and they would actually have almost an advantage on Dallas.
Yeah. And so right now I just feel like St. Louis is kind of, they're barely hanging on. They're hanging on better than Calgary, but I think Calgary is just too far out of it at this point to really, I mean, let me take a look at Calgary's, because they've got the Flames have the Golden Knights on Sunday. So if the Flames help us out and beat the Nuggets, which my girlfriend calls the Knights, the Golden Nuggets, because of the casino. But, you know, if the Flames help their own cause here and help us out with the Golden Knights, they could make it interesting. They really could. But, you know, time is really, really running out quickly for them. Really running out quickly.
Big time. Yeah. They need to get going, because it's going to be getting late soon with those guys for sure.
And we need the Devils to beat those Duckies tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be huge. That would be massive for if they can do that. That could be, and things roll into plan. They were right now, if they can beat New Jersey, they can beat Vegas. You know, that could just seal it all for the Sharks right there. But Benjamin Castle makes a good point. The Sharks were 18-20-3 at home the year they went to the Cup final, and they started horrifically.
Oh, that was a really bad year.
Yeah, so that's a good point, Benjamin. And they did do that big time.
And it's kind of a far cry. This year they're 21-11-3 at home. So, you know, it's pretty darn good at home as far as that goes, the home record. And their differential's creeping back up again. They're plus 20. They're third in the division right now by a goal differential. So, you know, it's good to see the offense kind of kicking into gear. And like I said, just tighten up a little bit defensively. And, you know, I think we're in it. You know, I think that this team can go toe-to-toe with a lot of people. And, heck, I mean, if the Sharks take that first spot in the pack and they take on – Dallas, right?
Yeah, they would take on Dallas if they were to steal the Pacific. Right now, if they stole the Pacific, they would get Dallas. Otherwise, they're getting one of the California teams.
I wouldn't mind an opening round against Anaheim or Los Angeles for that matter either. I mean, I you know, it's been really burning me, the the I guess that would be 08, 07, or 07, 08. Anaheim loss.
Oh, the 09 loss.
Oh, 09 loss, yeah. Yeah, that was the last time we played the Duckies.
Yeah. One more game to comment on. USA 2, Canada 1 for the Paralympic sled hockey gold medal game. The U.S. was down 1-0, and Canada hit the post on an empty netter with a minute left in regulation. USA ties it with 38 seconds left, and the USA win it about 8.5 minutes into overtime. So that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, guys, it looks like we're going to be wrapping up pretty soon. So if you guys want to get in some last minute questions, we'd love to tackle them. We've got a couple other announcements to do. Of course, we've got the subscription vamping. So, Eric, why don't you go ahead and take it away, and we'll hold just a little bit longer for some more questions.
Yeah.
He's got some going out.
Yeah, and thank you, Laurel, for mentioning it. The tweet up April 7th, that's Fan Appreciation Night against the Wild. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, please do so. I'm working on the button design this week. I've had a little bit of designer cramp so far as we're getting closer and closer to playoff time. So I have a lot of design thinking in my head right now. So that'll be quite a interesting thing to do this week. Nonetheless, if you missed anything, or you just want to watch us do this again, and thank you very much if you do, check us out on tealtownusa.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. We appreciate you every time you come in. Check us out. Please tell everyone, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell button.
Smash it.
Yeah, like Brody said. Like Brody said to AJ earlier, smash that subscribe. Oh, wait. Wait. I promoted this. Thank you for reminding me, dude. We need to call Brody.
Oh, that is right.
So if also, you go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, Eric, while you're getting Brody on the line there, let's talk a little bit about points to get a playoff lock. Right now, I think the consensus is around the league that 95 points gets you a lock in to the wild card spot. If we're looking right now at the points for Vegas, they're at 95. That wins you the Pacific. So the Sharks right now have to get 6 points to tie with Vegas. Mind you, the Sharks have still 2 games against Vegas left, and Vegas is on a little bit of a losing streak right now. They've lost 2, and they're 4-5-1 in their last 10.
Yeah. Dave, I forget who said, I think it was Kevin last night, said that with the trade of Tatar, it kind of threw off the lines for Vegas, and they've been struggling because they've lost their last 2 home games. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there. All right. So if you missed Sharks pregame live, and of course, Brody has the infamous Jumbo if you're watching segment. He actually put his phone number on the screen, and then he tweeted it out during the game because there was no Twitter mission. So we're going to give it a call now. Let's see, because he does watch us here and there on the show. Let's see if he answers. All right.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Brody Brazil. And unfortunately, I don't have the pipe in like AG does, so we'll see.
Oh, that's coming in pretty good.
Cool.
Oh, we're getting rings. It's not voicemail.
Come on, Brody. This is live television. Don't let me down.
Hi, it's Brody, and you have reached the Google Voice mailbox for the Bro Show. Please leave us your brief but detailed comments right after the tone, and don't forget to begin with your name and where you're calling from. We will use the best messages on future podcasts. Thank you.
Hi, Brody. This is Eric Kura, representing TealTownUSA.com. I'm from Concord. You know, the crew is from all over the place, as you know, Nashville for Rocket, Landy and Chris from San Diego. Of course, you know, AJ from San Jose. Yeah, I know you know that guy. Anyways, we were hoping that you possibly could have picked up this phone call as we were on the air to see if you were watching. So, Brody, if you're watching, I don't know how you can stop Joe from calling you, but maybe tell Doc to just be nice to you and let him call you, so that way you can feel the love from Jumbo. I don't know. Anywho, if you feel so inclined, give me a call back. I think AJ's giving you my number because I'm not going to put it on YouTube right now. So
you're not bold enough.
I'm not bold enough. No, I'm not. So until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal, bud. And I will talk to you soon. Take care. All right. We got Brody's voicemail.
Should have ended the show on that one.
Yeah, I know. But Landy, final thoughts before we head out.
You know what? This was a gritty win. It was not pretty. The Sharks, I mean, gutted it out against a non-playoff team, a team that doesn't really have much to play for. Their rookies out. It's good to see them have a little bit of resiliency, and it's very enlightening to see, and it's very it's pleasing to see.
Yeah.
Anyhow, if you want to reach me on any of that social media garbage, use my first name and my last name. And I am on all of the social medias, including but not limited to Instagram. We got, of course, the Twitter, of course, Facebook, of course. I said Instagram already, didn't I?
Yep.
But LinkedIn, Facebook Messenger, whatever. I'm on it.
All right. Of course, you can follow me on
Grinder.
Oh, geez.
I won't touch that one anymore.
Oh man. All right. Oh, adult friend finder. No, he's got a girlfriend, so no. So all right. FarmersOnly.com. Oh man. Wow.
And just the tip. No.
No. So up next, Renegade After Dark. No. We're not.
Christian Mingle, people. Christian Mingle. Get it right. Oh, if I was going to be on any of them. All just right, no. Eric. You better cut this one off.
You follow me on Twitter at PuckEye14. Thank you for hitting that subscribe button. We just got a new subscriber. We're at 647. Tell your friends. We'll love to get to 700 before playoffs. We would love to get the 750 during playoffs. So please tell everybody, we will be back with you following Sharks in New Jersey. That's on Tuesday night. Until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. We will see you Tuesday night, and have a safe St. Patrick's Day. If you're going out now, be careful, Brody.
Don't get reached around.
Yeah. Brody, if you're watching, don't get reached around.